Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. The word kingdom, as used in the New Testament, has two different meanings. Sometimes the word refers to the eternal kingdom, which all of God's faithful children will inherit. The Apostle Peter exhorted his readers, "Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ." 2 Peter 1, 10 and 11. Paul warned the Galatians about allowing the lusts of their flesh to dominate their lives. "They which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God." Galatians 5, 21. It ought to be obvious from these passages that the inspired writers were using the word kingdom as a synonym of the eternal dwelling of God's people. The word kingdom is also used of the church of the living God. Paul's letter to the church at Colossae includes this reference to the kingdom. "We are to give thanks unto the Father, who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in life, who has delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, or the kingdom of the Son of His love." Colossians 1, 12 and 13. The members of the church of our Lord at Colossae were in the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Unlike Joseph of Arimathea, who was looking for the kingdom, the Christians in Colossae were in the kingdom, not the eternal kingdom, which we will inherit at the end of the age, but God's kingdom on earth, the church of the living God. But is not God's earthly kingdom sometimes way down in the future? It is not, dear friends, if Paul meant what he wrote to the Colossian Christians. How could they have been translated into a kingdom which did not exist? Jesus taught us the relationship of the church to the kingdom. When our Lord asked His disciples, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" the Apostle Peter answered, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus then explained, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say unto you, that you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16, 15 through 19. Please think seriously about this question. Did Jesus build one institution, the church, and give the apostles the keys to another institution, the kingdom? My friends, the kingdom of which the Old Testament prophets so often spoke is the church of the living God, which was established on the day of Pentecost. The church will not someday be established. It exists and has existed since the day of Pentecost. Oh, I know there is another phase of the kingdom, which will begin at the judgment. All who have obeyed the gospel and lived according to its precepts will inherit that eternal kingdom. But if you are a member of the New Testament church, you are in the kingdom now. Acts 8 records Philip's preaching Christ in Samaria. "But when they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Christ, they were baptized, both men and women." Acts 8, 5 and 12. Those who obeyed the gospel were made citizens in the kingdom of heaven, or members of the body of Christ. If the kingdom of Christ will not come until later, as our premillennial friends teach, why does the Bible refer to Christ as king? Peter declared on Pentecost, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Acts 2:36. Are you honoring Christ as king? Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.